thank you for joining us today. It's December 23rd, and we are on our third day of our different news items that we're talking about, and we are on page 36 of your Studio Classroom Advanced magazine. So if you have your magazine, you might want to open it to that page or turn to it on your digital device, and you could follow along with us as we're going to be reading and discussing the article about sugary drinks. And let's find out what we drink. I have two great panelists with me today.
Hi, I'm Linda C. Nice to be here.
And I'm Simon.
And I'm Linda L. And Simon, you have the odd name here, so let's see. What kind of sugary drinks do you drink?
Water, at the moment. I've been drinking a lot of water over the past 6 months, sometimes tea, because I've been trying to cut sugary drinks out of my life. But I would say before that, there were a wide range of sugary drinks that I enjoyed.
Yeah. How about you, Linda?
I mostly drink water, but I have been doing that for a long time. And I feel particularly strong about this particular topic because, yeah, I believe that we should try to cut all sugary drinks out of our diets and out of our system.
Okay. And I also drink, the majority of what I drink is water. I do like an occasional Coke. Actually, I love Coke, but it is a sugary drink. But I think mostly water. And
yeah, but let's not just pick on Coke here, because really, sugar is in all kinds of drinks. I mean, people drink green tea that's full of sugar. We've got yogurt drinks that are full of sugar. And
sports drinks.
Fruit drinks that are supposed to be juice but aren't really juice.
Oh, they're
full
like
of sugar.
They're 10% juice.
And yeah, so any number of drinks out there can be just right full of sugar.
Right. I was just doing true confession about which one I particularly liked.
I mean, I guess you can say it's the goal of cutting sugar in general out of our diet.
Right, and we're not just cutting sugar to cut sugar. There are lots of health risks linked with this. And, you know, it's very easy to drink sugar. I mean, it's kind of hidden in, I don't want to make sugar out to be dangerous, but I think that we always overdo things.
Right.
Yeah. At the same time, though, it's I suppose this news story shouldn't be, you know, surprising to most of our listeners, because over the last few years, we've definitely, as a society, been on a trend that's moving towards healthier. And as a result, big companies like Coke and Pepsi really have lost a lot of their market share. And those companies have reacted to that by doing things like having bottled water. Right, so Coke machines carry Dasani bottled water, and Pepsi owns juice producers that produce real juice and things like that, because they are aware that people are concerned about this. And with a title like the one we have on this article, it's not really surprising that people are moving away from it, right?
And I also know that in elementary, and I don't know if it's true through high school, but in the States anyway, and also abroad, like the American school here in Taipei, Morrison is the one that I'm familiar with, that these kind of drinks, soda or pop, is banned in the schools and the machines.
Okay. Because when I was in school, which was, you know, a while ago, but, I mean, there were soda machines everywhere, and kids had easy access to it, and that's what they would drink.
Right. And I think the biggest contributing factor that we think of when we think of sugar, of course, is obesity, which is becoming a worldwide problem and causing a lot of problems. So let's read this before we continue to discuss it. If you have your magazine with you and it's open to page 36, we're going to read the first column in the left-hand side.
Sugary drinks linked to 180,000 deaths a year worldwide, research says. By contributing to obesity and, through that, to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer, the consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks appears to kill about 25,000 American adults yearly and is linked worldwide to the deaths of 180,000 each year, new research says. Low- and middle-income countries are bearing the brunt of the death toll attributed to overconsumption of sugar-sweetened sodas, sports drinks, and fruit drinks. According to an assessment published in the American Heart Association's journal, Circulation, each year, more than 75% of the world's deaths attributed to overconsumption of sugar-sweetened beverages occur in those poor and developing countries. In Mexico, a country with one of the world's highest per capita consumption of sweetened drinks, about 24,000 adults' deaths in 2010 were attributed to overconsumption of sugar-sweetened drinks. That translated into the highest death rate of the world's 20 most populous nations, 405 deaths per million adults in 1 year. The United States ranks second. In 2010, there were 125 deaths per million adults, or about 25,000 deaths total.
So we see that 180,000 deaths a year is linked to sugary drinks. So what you are thinking or said earlier, Linda, certainly is coming home, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we know like sugar is bad for our health. So it's not that surprising that, you know, it has this amount of deaths, but it still is, you know, that's a big number.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember, too, when we read this title, that the sugary drinks are linked to the 180,000 deaths. They don't necessarily cause it.
Right.
So it's not like people are, choking on their Coke halfway down the street and dropping like flies or something like that. It's just they're linked, and it actually gives us sort of the process of how people get from drinking sugary drinks all the time to ending up basically dying. And it gives us that in the first paragraph there.
Right. I wanted to say this links us right into the first paragraph. The second word says it's contributing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what it's contributing to is obesity. And through that to, and then we come to all of the diseases that are linked to obesity, which are diabetes, which is, I think, pretty common, and then cardiovascular disease and cancer. And it says that the consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks appears to kill about 25,000 American adults yearly. And then it's linked to these 180,000 deaths each year. And I think, as Linda said, that this is not surprising, actually.
Yeah, and we've actually done articles before here on Advanced. I've been on the radio program discussing things like how much sugar is in different drinks. And one of the numbers I remember in particular standing out is that we're basically supposed to have about 6 teaspoons of sugar a day at most. But you have more than that even in like a sort of a small can of Coke, right?
Right, yeah, much
and
more,
so,
I think.
Really, we're not, mm-hmm. as a species, we're not really designed for sugar consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a thing we've kind of brought on ourselves as we've developed as countries and things like that.
Right. And it's hard to avoid sugar in things. Like in any drink, if there is some sugar, it's not going to be just a little. I mean, they have to put a lot in it to make it sweet. And not only drinks, but also in food.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar is added to food to make it taste better. Even in food that's not really sweet, but it's still added in there.
Well, I know that when you go to even a drink stand, you know, you can tell them how much sugar you want in something, and sugar is automatically, I mean, I'm glad that people ask now, which you know, rank of sugar do you want, 30%, 50%, but a lot of things, sugar is added to things that don't need it at all.
Exactly.
I think that we have a word here we should take a look at, consumption. And that's the noun form. It just means to consume, or it means that you drink something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the noun form of it. So the amount that you've drunk of sugar sweetened drinks. And notice that, of course, all of this is going towards obesity, okay? And obesity means that you are what? How would you define it?
It just means, like, noticeably overweight, really overweight.
Well, technically, it's when you have 30% or over 30% of body fat. Like,
not just a little overweight. Overweight.
Yeah.
Very overweight. Okay. Mm-hmm. And notice that it also kills 25,000 Americans. So Americans drink a lot. This is talking just about what they're drinking, a lot of sugary drinks. I've noticed that you also need to be careful about health drinks, because there was a chart I was looking at, and they were showing one health drink had more sugar in it than four Krispy Kreme donuts.
Really?
Yeah, it was comparing things that you don't think about, the amount of sugar, you know, because we think of them as being very, very sweet. It was quite shocking, actually. It was like, what? Well, it was amazing.
Right. Because health drinks or sports drinks, you know, you just automatically assume that they're healthier, but they actually have a lot of sugar, and you can taste them. You can taste the sugar in it.
Usually when you're reading the ingredients in something like that, the second item, you know, they list the ingredients in the, starting with the first one is the largest amount that is in the drink, and the second one on down. So how much of it is in, and you can usually see that sugar is like in the top three.
Yeah, it's usually the second, like the water.
I didn't really want to say that. It often is the second one, and certainly in the top three or four.
That's right. So you mentioned, Linda, that 25,000 Americans die. Yeah, their deaths are connected to drinking sugary drinks. And that is a big number, but the article here goes on to tell us that actually Americans and highly developed countries aren't the ones that are dealing with the biggest burden here.
Right.
It actually tells us that low and middle income countries, so countries where people earn only a little money and where people earn sort of a bit more, but not as much as in a developed country. Those are the countries that are bearing the brunt of the death toll. And when you bear the brunt of something, it means you are taking the worst of it. So you're carrying the heaviest burden and being hit the hardest.
Right. And we see the next one is attributed to, which just means that that's the cause of something, or the result of, not the cause, but the result of something. And that is from overconsumption. So we had consumption before, meaning that you drink it or eat something, but here overconsumption means way too much. So from overconsumption of sugar-sweetened sodas. And they list them, sodas. If you're where I'm from, we call it pop. Anybody here?
I don't call it that. We still called it soda, but when I was in Atlanta in the South, they call everything Coke.
Right.
You go into the restaurant, the waitress asks you, oh, you know, what do you want to drink? And you say a Coke. And then she asks you, what kind of Coke?
Right.
We say pop.
You say pop? Mm-hmm. I know the East, I've been made fun of because I'm from the Midwest and I say pop. But I do know, we were actually, Studio Classroom wrote an article on what you call pop. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty interesting because the South does mean.
Yeah.
So Coke means
everything. Yeah.
Anything. Fanta, 7-Up.
Exactly. And I went to the university in Atlanta, in which Coke gives a lot of money to. So Coke played a very important role.
Was it free-flowing?
No, it wasn't. but the name Coke and anything associated with Coke was a big part of the school.
I'm sure. Okay, we see that it's not just sugar-sweetened sodas or pop. It's also sports drinks, as we said, and also fruit drinks. And, you know, when you pick up a fruit drink, I mean, if we have kids, we think, oh, we're going to buy something healthy for our kids. But actually, they're full of sugar.
Yeah, it's very misleading to have fruit, you know, on the label, because there is 10% or less actual fruit juice in the drink. It's mostly sugar and water.
Right. So this is an assessment. It was published by the American Heart Association's journal Circulation. And every year, more than 3 in 4 of the world's deaths attributed to overconsumption occur in poor and developing countries. So 3 in 4 is about 75%.
Right. And it makes sense because Coke and soda, it's readily available in these countries, more so than fresh, clean water. When I lived in Africa, in Namibia, and I was living in a very rural area, they had Fanta everywhere. You could buy a bottle of Fanta, but you could not get fresh water. You had to, like, walk far away to get fresh water. So I can understand why, you know, Coke is one of the most recognizable. The Coke bottle is one of the most recognizable shapes in the world. Because, yeah, it's everywhere. You can get it everywhere.
Wow.
Even in the smallest village.
Yeah. And our article tells us that of these poorer countries, Mexico, which is really a middle-income country, is particularly hard hit. It tells us they have one of the world's highest per capita consumptions of sweetened drinks. And a per capita consumption means per person. And so the average person in Mexico is drinking one of the highest amounts of sweetened drinks per person in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. About 24,000 adult deaths in 2010 were because of this, are attributed to this anyway. So that comes out to the highest death rate in the world and the world's 20 most populous nations. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States ranks second, and that's a developed country. So I guess Coke is there. So we shouldn't just pick on Coke. It's not just Coke.
I know.
Any beverage.
But Coke represents, you know, all of those sugary drinks.
Well, let's go on and do our reading in the second column, and then we'll talk about what it says there.
To calculate those estimates of sugary beverages' health toll, researchers combed through national dietary surveys in 51 countries from 1980 to 2010. The researchers then mined resource databases to discern the availability and consumption of sugar in 187 countries. They drew from a growing number of studies to estimate the contribution of sugar-sweetened beverage consumption to obesity, and of obesity to such diseases as type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancers of the breast, colon, esophagus, gallbladder, kidney, pancreas, and ovaries. And finally, they calculated how many deaths from those diseases might have gotten a push from consumption of those sugary drinks. This is not complicated, said Dr. Darius Mazafarian, Dean of Tufts University's Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy, and a senior author of the new research. There are no health benefits from sugar-sweetened beverages, and the potential impact of reducing consumption is saving tens of thousands of lives each year.
So we see that to generate those estimates of sugary beverages' health toll, researchers went through the national dietary surveys in 51 countries for 20 years. And I like their phrasing here. They then mined resource databases to discern this availability and consumption of sugar. And this was over 187 countries. So it seems like their statistics are pretty accurate. So what is this paragraph actually saying?
Well, it's basically telling us how they arrived at these statistics that they're giving us, how they decided how many people died because of sugary drinks or because they had been consuming a lot of sugary drinks. And so basically, if we're to break that paragraph down, it says researchers combed through national dietary surveys. And so they went very slowly and very carefully through surveys that checked what people were eating in 51 different countries from 1980 to 2010. And then it tells us, as a second step, they mined resource databases, which means they were using computers and computer algorithms to check through the databases to discern, or I guess in this case, figure out the availability and consumption. So how easy it was for people in those countries to get and to consume or drink sugar or sugary foods in different countries.
And we have a very good term here, comb. If you comb through something, what does that mean to you, Linda, if you comb through something?
You go through something very carefully.
Okay. So we usually think about it as like combing our hair, but when you do that, you separate it, all of your hair, right,
mm-hmm.
or your strands of hair when you're combing it to separate them. So combing through here means they looked over everything very, very carefully like that. And then after they did that, then they mined, as Simon said, the resources, the resource databases. And they drew from a growing number of studies to estimate the contribution of sugar-sweetened beverage consumption to obesity. And then they linked them to all of these diseases. So it means that they're just showing the correlation here between drinking and what happens. And really, it all comes back to obesity because it's a cause of obesity. And then obesity is linked to, and there's a whole list of them here. Linda, do you want to talk about these?
Yeah, they include some serious diseases like type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, probably contributes to high blood pressure as well, and cancers. They list various cancers here: cancer of the breast, colon, esophagus, gallbladder, kidney, pancreas, and ovaries. So yeah, this can have a very strong impact on one's health.
Right, and that's linked to obesity again. Just to make clear that we know, because I have a Coke, I'm not going to get cancer.
Right, and we've been picking on Coke just because Coke is, you know, the most well-known form of soda. And I have to admit that I do find Coke very satisfying, maybe after a year of not having drunk any Coke. Like, a glass of Coke with ice is very refreshing.
Yes, definitely.
A year without a Coke?
I know. Yeah, I think once a year is good.
Did you,
you
just
know?
Say that?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like,
wow.
I think once
okay.
a year. I think I'll allow myself once a year to have a Coke, and, you know, then I won't have any of these issues.
I think once a day is pretty good. A lot of self-control there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Then I think you're signing up. You might be on the statistic.
Maybe. Nonetheless, though, the experts, Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, tells us that this is not complicated. And again, that takes us back to this theme that this news really shouldn't be too surprising to people. Dr. Mozafarian is the dean of Tufts University's Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy. And so Tufts is a famous university in the U.S. And he has authored a bunch of this new research.
Right. And actually, he's the senior author of this new research that's coming out. So he was part of this combing and mining and discerning process that went on. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty, you know, I think if we use our common sense, that we realize if you eat a bunch of sugar, it's not good for you.
Right.
And we're not saying to never have sugar.
Maybe once a year, you know.
Well, maybe Linda is. But you know, to me, everything in moderation, you know, it's existed for thousands of years, too, for a purpose.
Right.
But we tend to overdo everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, it's clear. I mean, he states it in the last quote, there are no health benefits, you know, from these sugar-sweetened beverages. And we know that. It's just, it's really hard to give up something that you're used to drinking all the time. And we've also been sold on this idea through advertising, you know, through our peers, you know, our parents maybe drank soda for breakfast or soda, you know, for dinner. So it's really hard to give it up. And also for the taste.
Right.
People just love the taste.
But if we realize, he said, the quote goes on to say, the potential impact of reducing consumption is saving tens of thousands of lives each year. That's pretty, you know, has a big impact when you think about it that way.
True.
And we went back to say that, you know, Mexico drinks the highest per capita, but also the United States, which is a developed country, is number two. So we see that even though we said that low and middle income countries are bearing the brunt of the death toll, you know, countries like the United States, developed countries also are included in here, too.
Yeah, they're not too far behind.
Right, they're not exempt from any of this. So we just need to be aware. I think a lot of this is drawing awareness to what we drink, what we eat, and to being more healthy, leading a more healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
Well, we want to thank you all for joining us for Sugary Drinks, and we hope that you'll join us again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.